Welcome to Profiles. I'm your host, Shauna Ritter, and our guest is Patty Pizzo, the 2005 recipient of the Arts Advocate Award, awarded by the Bloomington Area Arts Council. Welcome to Profiles, Patty.
Thank you.
Patty, you have been a longtime resident of Bloomington. If I'm correct, has it been over 50 years that you've been living here?
51 years. We came here in 51.
In 1951. Right. So you've been here 54 years to do very quick addition. How has Bloomington changed over the time that you've lived here?
Primarily in size. It's really grown tremendously. We came here because it was a small town, a small university town. We'd been in, I lived in suburban Chicago, and my husband was working at Northwestern doing his residency. And the commute to Wilmette was an hour. And we had two little children, and he hated that hour coming and going. And he went out looking for a city that had a university so he could teach, small town, and a hospital that had never had a pathologist so he could start his own diagnostic pathology, as opposed to the old-style pathology. So it has changed considerably. The hospital was a 36-bed hospital. It now has over 231 doctors, and or maybe exactly 231 rather than over.
Has the arts scene changed in Bloomington over the last 50 years, and how has it changed?
Well, the arts scene was almost exclusive to the university. Henry Hope was head of the Fine Arts School, and it was in one of those temporary wartime structures over where the chemistry building is now. And Rudy Fasati was there. He came about the same time that we came, when we became good friends. And that was it. There wasn't any Waldron, and there wasn't any Indiana Theater, and there wasn't all of the art scene that's going on now at all. No galleries. And now how many galleries do we have? 5, 6?
Oh, many, many more than that.
It's changed considerably.
What drew you to become so active with the arts?
Well, actually, my being a major in fine arts was kind of an accident. I had, at that time, and I had 8 children. I decided I wanted to go back to school. And when I went back to school, it was after my youngest one went to kindergarten. And I would drop her off at kindergarten and go take two classes. And they would not accept my University of Chicago credits, believe it or not. And so I had to start at the beginning as a freshman. And it was at a time when nobody else in school my age. Now, of course, everybody is going back to school. But they would ask me about the graduate students who were teaching. The beginning English class would ask me about Alf Landon's campaign. Oh, I wasn't even alive when Alf Landon ran for president. But as far as they were concerned, I was this unique, funny old lady in school.
Now, how old were you then, about?
I was 40. I was a religion major, and one day I dropped my daughter off at kindergarten, rushed over to register again for the second semester, and they said, "Well, you're not in religion, you're in fine arts." And I said, "No, I'm not," and I argued for a while about it, and then I realized I didn't have time to argue, so I just went ahead and registered, and I took a course in fine arts, and that was the beginning. I've always been very interested in art all the while of my life. That was, you know, life is full of fortuitous happenings.
Are you an artist yourself? Do you paint or draw, sculpt?
I have done, but I'm not terribly successful. It just wasn't, I think it just isn't my thing. I'm really more of a people person. And I think being in a studio on my own just wasn't a good thing for me.
You're listening to Profiles on WFIU. I'm your host, Shauna Ritter, and our guest is Patty Pizzo. Patty, when did you change from studying art to becoming a community advocate for art?
I really got started, I think, because of the bookstall, which I did start. and that I became very interested in the Friends of Art because I became interested in student scholarships and also in letting art out into the community.
Now, the bookstore, how did you become involved in that? I know you said that
Henry,
you started it.
Henry Hope, there was a teacher here from England who I think he was from Oxford, I can't remember, maybe Cambridge, and he was appalled at the lack of books on art history, primarily. And he persuaded Henry Hope to put up $50 and a card table. And inasmuch as I was the local matron and theoretically had time, asked me to man the booth. And he ordered the books, the instructor ordered all the books. And we had a card table with a lot of paperbacks, Penguin paperbacks. And we were open from 1 to 3, Tuesday and Thursday. Well, from that it grew to be an all-day thing. And we had thousands of books. And after 14 years, and we had room, lots of cabinets, lots of show cabinets, and so on.
And the money that
all
was
went
generated.
To scholarships. I was still doing this as a volunteer. It just grew, just like my family. It just grew.
So looking back,
unfortunately, I think a lot of my life has been just happening. I more and more believe that there's a destiny that guides us.
So are you? You're not a planner.
No, I guess I'm not. A planner. And every plan I've ever made never worked out. I went to library school. I wanted to be a librarian. And every library I worked in, they either fired me or asked me to leave. What?
Why was that, Patty?
I don't know. It just wasn't part of God's plan for me, I guess.
At the same time that you were volunteering at the bookstore for many years, what other kinds of activities were you involved in Bloomington during that time period, other than raising 8 children?
Yes, I was doing that, and I was still in school all this time.
Oh, I didn't realize that. So you were volunteering in the art store while you yourself were a student?
Yes, I was, and I was taking all the requirements, so they weren't all art courses by any matter of means. And then I did also go back and get a degree in library science. So it took me 2 years to get an MLS, and I was still working at the bookstore. So,
okay. I didn't realize that. I know also, Patty, that you became very involved in the renovation of the Buskirk Chumley Theater, which was the old movie theater in town. The Indiana Arts Theater, and that was a huge project. And I've heard stories about you not just being involved from the outside, but being involved plastering and laying tile and doing all kinds of works. How did you become involved in that renovation, and why do you think that theater was so important to
Bloomington? Well, I guess I really just became part of the art world, and so I ended up on the board of the Bloomington Area Arts Council. And I realized what they were trying to do. Even getting the Waldron going was something in the first place.
And the John Waldron is the community arts center for Bloomington.
Exactly. And just getting that moving along. And we did all kinds of fundraisers for that to get the money to move in. The city gave us the building, but it had to be completely renovated. I mean, it was gutted from the inside. And I just worked on it. I worked on the fundraisers. I worked on the building itself. And then we got involved in redoing the BC Theater. It needed work, again, fundraising, decision-making, pulling up the floors, pulling out so many things. Again, it was completely gutted. And we had historical preservation money, so it needed to be redone in exactly the same way. So anyway, it was work. I like working. I do work. And I wash windows and do all kinds of. I don't wash my own windows anymore, however. They're too high.
As things began to change, Patty, because you painted a picture that in the 50s and 60s, maybe even through the 70s in Bloomington, that the art scene was very much around the university itself. And then through the 80s and 90s, there began to be much more of a community art scene. How do you think, in your opinion, how did that happen, that transition from the art scene just being at the university to also being in the community? How did that take place?
I've not asked myself that question, but I think maybe a lot of it is the fact that so many art students graduated here and stayed in Bloomington. and became part of the community. And they had artwork that they wanted to show and things that they wanted to do, and so did I. So I think that this is how it coalesced. But I've never really seriously considered that question. I think it's just inevitable in the change of the size of the community. As it grew, more things would be added. The music school was already going, you know, full speed ahead, and it was time. And then the building of the new building, of the new School of Fine Arts.
Oh, for the School of Fine Arts.
Right. And it went, building that huge building, and then, of course, the building of the Indiana University Art Museum.
Mm-hmm.
These things all generated interest in the town and brought people to the town who were involved in the arts. And the School of Fine Arts just grew tremendously. I remember that in the beginning, when I first started there, I could have spontaneously have half the faculty over for supper as I was going home that night. And they would come and bring their kids, and they would play with my kids, and we'd all have a happy dinner and have a bottle of wine, and that would be impossible at this point, the size of the faculty.
Right. So. As much as the growth of Bloomington has brought about a tremendous growth in the arts and the art community here, do you also miss that smaller Bloomington when everybody knew everybody else?
Yes, I do. Very definitely, I do. It's a charming thing living in a town of, I think it was the town without the students at that point was 18,000.
Mm-hmm.
And we did really all know each other. And it was, but still we were an exclusive community, and that's for sure. None of the factories that were, I think there was only one factory here at the time. I read the obituaries and I realized that most days, I don't know any of those people at all, which means that those people have been here, and it hasn't been part of my world, that I need to be more part of their world.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried to do that, too.
I would like to listen to one of the pieces of music that you selected, and that is Simple Gifts. And we're going to listen to Leonard Bernstein's conducting the Los Angeles Philharmonic, performing Copland's rendition of Simple Gifts. Before we do, though, Patty, can you tell me why you chose that piece of music?
I very much like the sentiment of the words of that thing. And there is a choral rendition, which we haven't been able to find.
Is that it's a gift to be simple?
It's a gift to be simple. It's a gift to be free and to come down where you ought to be.
I remember singing. I used to sing that with my own children when they were little, mm-hmm. as well.
And I believe that. I just wish I could live it.
Thank you. You're listening to Profiles on WFIU, and this is Simple Gifts. You're listening to Profiles on WFIU. We've just been listening to Simple Gifts. It's the Copland rendition that is conducted by Leonard Bernstein and the Los Angeles Philharmonic. We are being joined today by Patty Pizzo, the 2005 recipient of the Arts Advocate Award in Bloomington. Patty, were you surprised when you got the award?
Totally.
You have been so active, though, in the arts community. I've never met you before, but I've heard your name many times. I have lots of friends active in the arts community, and I've heard your name come up. Why were you surprised?
Well, I couldn't imagine why I was getting it, but I had a lot of friends on the selection committee to begin with, and people kept coming up to me afterward and saying, "You really deserve this," and that came as a surprise to me but they really felt that way. So maybe I didn't know it.
Well, congratulations on the award.
The fact of the matter is that I was overwhelmed when they made the presentation, and because as my family who were there pointed out, it wasn't just one person standing up and then the rest of them following. It's that everybody, 360 to 400 people, actually got up as a mass and kept applauding, standing and applauding, and I was just absolutely amazed, as amazed I was when I got the award. I didn't know what to say. I tried twice to go to the mic to give my little speech, which, again, was a political jab. Anyway, I thought, I just couldn't believe it, and I wanted, this is a way of saying thank you to those people.
Of all the different kinds of projects that you've been engaged with, do you have one that's been a favorite?
I don't think so. I liked working very much with the people on the Indiana Theater renovation. They were a great group of people. You know, I've been committed to the other arts, too, not just what they call officially plastic arts, but also music and theater. And I have been somewhat active in that area, not really very much, but enough that I get an arts award, apparently. I don't know. I think the probably the most fun, and it was really fun running the bookstall, really fun. Uh-huh. I had all the people who worked for me were volunteers, and at one happy time, I had a different person for the morning and the afternoon. So I had 14 different people working for me during that time. And there was a time when every person working there in the afternoon was the wife of a department chairman. It really came a very special social kind of thing. Plus the fact that we made all the money to give to students for scholarships. So, and we got the reputation of being the very best art bookshop in the Middle West. And I became very active in the university in art bookstores. There's actually a museum store association. Oh. And I became very active in the museum store association and traveled around the country doing that. I also traveled around the state of Indiana, which was a wonderful fun when I was president of the Indiana Library Trustee Association, and had to go every month. There were different meetings around the state, and I would go and give
talks,
you know, presentation talks, mm-hmm. and so on.
So you love to travel. Have you traveled? I believe that I read somewhere that you also have traveled in Africa.
Africa, India, and Thailand.
What do you enjoy about traveling? What makes it be so enjoyable for you? What pulls you into it?
Well, in all of those instances, we've done recreational traveling, but all of those instances where we're doing mission work. And if you do mission work, you get to know the people very well. And the good food, except in Africa, where I never got used to the food. I don't care. It's a terrific experience, obviously. You learn. I keep learning. That's the whole point of life, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you have any one experience that you could share from any of the time that you traveled in India or Thailand or Africa that you would, one that stands out for you? I know there's probably many.
Yeah, there really are many. I have stories, but they're too long to tell, really. I think my African story is it was in Zaire, which was the Zaire at that point, mm-hmm. and now Congo has I ran the in each place I had to work too. My husband went as a doctor and worked in the local medical facilities, but I ran the guest house there, and was also responsible for running the kitchen. And the name of the place where this hospital was called Impesi, which means place of the cockroach.
Oh.
And believe me, it was the place of the cockroach. It was a very interesting experience for that period of time.
During what years were you in doing this work? Is this the 60s or the 70s?
Oh, no, the 80s, really.
This is the
80s. I think we were the last place we were was in India in sometime, we were trying to figure that out the other day, 85, something like that, 85, 86.
In your time in Bloomington being involved, again, you said you've been involved in lots of different arts as well, though mainly in the visual, what I say, the visual arts, which mm-hmm. may not be the right term. How important do you think arts education is?
I think it's very important. I watched my grandson this morning sitting at the breakfast table, taking a lot of colored pencils and making a picture that he could take to school. And I think he will grow up as an artist. And it teaches you to observe. And of course, I feel all of the arts are educational. They open up your mind and your heart to the world. And arts education is important, and I'm very much afraid of what's going to happen to arts education with our current leader, who's cutting funds every place he can possibly cut funds so he can fund his people, as he called them. So it's important. It's very important. Music is very important, and the visual arts are extremely important, and theater. All these things.
Do you go very often to the theater?
Yes, we have series tickets to the local theater. And also, because of my support of the Waldron, I go to every one of their performances. I still feel that we have to do what we can to keep the Waldron on its feet. So,
that's the John Waldron's Community Arts Center in Bloomington, and you're listening to Profiles on WFIU. I'm your host, Shauna Ritter, and our guest is Patty Pizzo, who is the recipient of the Arts Advocate Award for 2005. Patty, you started to speak a little bit about the importance of education and art together. What can a community do? What do you feel is the role of a community in assuring that our children get an education that includes arts?
To begin with, you have to do something about the local government, the state government, and the national government to keep the funding coming for art music teachers. That's the beginning. But I also think on a local level, having the kinds of arts contests that we've had repeatedly. I'm also I should not forget to mention the Bloomington Community Arts Commission, which mm-hmm. is a city commission. And we give grants to people, not large. We don't have that much money at all. But we do give grants to many, for instance, the Lotus Educational, and to several people who have worked with children, and also with the Bloomington Symphony, the Youth Symphony, and opening contests to people in the school system for their artwork, so it can be, they can have a feeling that it's not just that they can show to the community what they're doing. And this definitely is an encouragement to children.
And I'm gathering you feel then that the city itself or the town itself has an obligation to help provide access to the arts?
I think so, yes. But, you know, it's not always going to be a priority. I mean, when it comes to holes in the street, the art is going to take, as it always has, going to take a back seat.
And again, in the time that you've lived in Bloomington, I wanted to say, I know that you've gone to school, you've raised 8 children, you've been very active in the community, and your activity has grown both from being on boards, being a speaker, and even, you know, helping to actually build facilities. How has all of this changed you and your outlook on life?
I really don't know how to answer that question. I don't know that I am changed. I think I'm still the same person. I'm just a lot more vocal because the more I know, the more I have opinions. I think that may be it. Just that, just in learning more and thinking more, I have become a little more, well, definitely opinionated. I feel very strongly about a lot of things.
Tell me something that you feel strongly about other than the access to arts education and
the access to all education. I do a little tutoring at Fairview School, mm-hmm. and I probably am going to be doing more. There's a new program that's starting, and the issue has come up as to what to do with Fairview School, and I feel very strongly that a year-round program would probably be the best thing. Because very often the children go home, especially in first grade and second grade, and everything they've learned during the year, they forget in the summertime, whereas that could be pulled back. I don't know whether you're aware of Fairview School and its problems. It's a wonderful school. It's one of the cleanest, most wonderful schools in the system. And I did do a lot of substitute library work over the years. So I have been in all the schools, and Fairview is one of the very best and had one of the very best principals. And that, too, like the Buskirk Chumley Theater, it needs to survive, and I'll go lay tile there if I have to, too.
We're going to listen to another piece of music that you chose, Patty, Cinderella Suite Number 1 by Sergei Prokofiev. Why did you choose that?
Because I'm very fond of Prokofiev's music. I just have always felt that it's touched my heart. Again, I'm a kind of a sentimental person, and it's wonderful music. And as I was growing up, I listened to it. There was a classical music program on a Chicago station that I listened to all the years that I was going to school, and I remember that music from that program.
Is it the story of Cinderella that draws you to this piece, or is it the music itself?
I don't know. That's an interesting question. After I chose it, I began to think about it. Yeah, perhaps the story.
Do you think of yourself as a Cinderella?
Possibly.
Okay, we're going to listen.
I'm not quite so beautiful, and I don't have a gown.
And do you have a coach?
I have a pumpkin. I have a coach. I have a husband. He's my coach.
We are going to listen to Cinderella, an excerpt from Suite Number 1 by Sergei Prokofiev, performed by the Orchestre de Paris. Welcome back to Profiles on WFIU. Our guest is Patty Pizzo. I'm your host, Shauna Ritter, and we have been listening to an excerpt from Cinderella by Sergei Prokofiev. Patty, tell me a little bit about some of the things that you feel most passionate about being able to help to accomplish in Bloomington. I know you've spoken about the need for education, for a community-based school like Fairview to be able to continue and perhaps become an all-year-round school, for there being active art galleries and theater symphony that's supported by the community. What else do you think is really important?
Well, I don't know. You probably don't know much about my background, but I've been pretty active politically in the Democratic Party, and what I'd like accomplished in this town, and was pretty much accomplished by the last election, the progressive liberal thought has taken over some of Bloomington. I would very much like to clean up the political scene. I would like Indiana to also become progressive in his thinking, and I would like the United States to become progressive in his thinking. And I will do as much as I can within my limited scope, obviously, to accomplish that. I care about my children, and I just cannot feel that the way we're going right now is going to be anything but detrimental to my own, to my children and grandchildren.
Tell me what you mean by progressive thinking, just because, you know, terms get thrown around so much these days,
right,
and people attach so many different things to it. Tell me how
I've avoided using liberal because that's not cool anymore. I think it's really a concern for the whole world and not just for your own personal gain. I think it's it just amazes me why people, and very much interested in the environment. I belong to every environmental thing that I can possibly belong to. I'm also on the board of the Sycamore Land Trust, and we have preserved thousands of acres at this point of natural land, which will not ever be developed or built on. And it is for the next generation. It is thinking about what your children and grandchildren are going to do and to feel. What we do with our children now at this point is the most important thing happening. It is a idea of getting the best education for the most people, to have them understand what's happening to the environment, to understand global warming, to understand that supportive education is the most important thing that we can be doing. To me, those are the progressive ideas. They progress on into the next generations.
What role do you think that government needs to be taking in things like health care?
I'm very much an advocate of universal health care. We're the only advanced nation in the world without national health care. It's ridiculous. England, France, Canada, you name them. Why are we so far behind on this? Just like we're the only top country in the world that has the death penalty still going. Where are we? I mean, what's going on in this country?
And how do you see, with the importance, I know you're involved in lots of things, but the importance of art in your life and your involvement with the community arts in Bloomington, how do you see that tied together with your strong desire to help us become more progressive thinkers?
I think the arts, all of them, theater, music, and visual arts. And am I missing one? What am I missing? I think that they open up your mind and heart. You look at things and see how other people see them differently. You see how other people feel. You aren't just reading the newspaper and your checkbook your menu or whatever. You're cleaning your house. You're seeing how other people have a view of the world. And in opening this up, you have greater understanding. And I think the arts do that.
What other things do you think that we as a community can be doing to help our children, our families become more progressive thinkers and to have more access to the arts?
Access to the arts is really not hard these days at all. I noticed, for instance, that the theater has the local IU theater department has lowered their cost of their tickets for younger people. And I think the arts in this community do reach out to people. Indiana Arts Museum is very much underused. I was a docent at the Art Museum, and now there's a terrific educational program going on. The museum is free. Anybody can walk in anytime they want to, and they can also ask questions, and they can have a free tours, and the schools we have second grade tours all the time. Now we're going into sixth grade tours and so on. This is continuing. So access there is, the Waldron certainly is doing a great deal to access arts in the community. And the theater, who is also showing a free art films quite often.
That's true. So are you very proud of what's been happening in Bloomington?
Oh, yes.
And do you see this in your travels around the state and your travels around the country when you've worked with other libraries and other communities? Do you see this rise in the art scene going on locally in other places?
Well, the rise in the art scene is unfortunately very often associated with a rise in the economy when people can afford to take the time to buy art and to go to the theater and to buy music. So during the 80s, when the economy was doing very well, there was a great interest in the arts. If the economy goes down, this is not going to be completely lost. People who have had the experience of participating in the arts are not going to forget about it if they suddenly find that they don't have as much money to spend in that area.
In your raising your own family, how did you include arts education and not arts education? How did you raise your own kids to become lovers of the art and believers in access to art in the community?
Well, suddenly when you said that, I remember the very first thing with my oldest child, Angelo. He doesn't like to be called Andy anymore. He was 3 years old, and it was really a misjudgment on my part. I took him to see The Red Shoes because I had seen The Red Shoes, and I thought, this is the most magnificent thing. And then the visual arts were not what they are now, so this was really a truly rare experience. So that was the beginning, and I took them to when we took trips to Europe, they got to the point that they hated museums and churches. So, yes, always. And Angelo was involved in the theater department here when he was young. And they all have been involved. And my house is full of art and full of artists. So that's how.
Patty, I know that some of your children have grown up to be very famous and are well-known in Bloomington. Can you tell me a little bit about your children?
Well, before I do, you asked me something about Cinderella and the coach, and I wanted to state again that the coach was my husband.
Tell me what you mean by that when you say that.
Well, he's always been there. He's been my enabler. So that's it. And as far as my kids are concerned, they're all wonderful. Andy's well known because he's the writer-director of Hoosiers mm-hmm. and also of Rudy. He's been away from Bloomington for 30 years living on the West Coast, has only been back maybe for days at a time since then. And his wife was tired of his being gone on location for movies so much. And she said that she would leave him unless she could either move with her sister or would come to Bloomington. So he chose coming to Bloomington. Mm-hmm. And now he just commutes by plane to the West Coast when he mm-hmm. needs to go back and for other areas. My second son, Christopher, was one of the first Americans to climb Mount Everest and did it with the Heart-Lung Association as a doctor climber. And the information that they gained on long-term oxygen deprivation is still being written up in medical journals and so on. My kids are all wonderful. Sarah's a psychotherapist in Los Angeles. Julie is a teacher. Mm-hmm. I have two kids who are teachers. They're all kind of in social work. We talked politics over the dinner table every night. We did. And Tony's full of opinions on political scene, on the social scene, I should say. Rocky's a lawyer in Portland. And Seth is a teacher here, and Fiora is a social worker with hospice.
That everybody?
I think that's everybody, yes.
And how many grandchildren do you have now, Patty?
15.
It must be. Do you all get together on holidays, your whole family? Are you able to?
Well, we usually get together once a year someplace or another, not necessarily holidays. It's really hard, and it's getting harder and harder because the grandchildren have so many things that they're doing at various places. We gather at the dunes in northern Indiana once this summer, and as many as can come. usually between 20 and 25. And we have, of the ones who live here, and there are 12 of us here, we have dinner every Sunday together. They help with the cooking, and my husband's turned out to be a wonderful cook.
I want to say congratulations again, Patty, on winning the 2005 Arts Advocate Award from the Bloomington Area Arts Council. And personally, I want to thank you for all your good work in Bloomington and making this a place where the arts are alive and active. And I also want to ask you what you think is most important for us as a community to do to make sure that we continue to have a vibrant art scene and that our educational opportunities grow.
Well, I think the community is doing pretty well, as a matter of fact. I think that, again, I would say that the political climate in this country needs to change in order to ensure that for the rest of the country and for the world, as a matter of fact.
And what ways can we assure that that happens? What can we do?
Well, I'm trying very hard to be diplomatic. I don't know. I think, again, being well informed about what's actually happening in the world is probably the best way. Listening, seeing, thinking, these things need to happen.
Okay. Thank you for being a guest on Profiles. We've been speaking with Patty Pizzo, 2005 recipient of the Bloomington Area Arts Council Arts Advocate Award. You have been listening to WFIU. I'm your host, Shauna Ritter. Thank you.
The program you just heard was recorded in the studios of WFIU in March of 2005. Christina Kuzmich, executive producer. The recording engineer and technical producer was Michael Paskash. Emily Blacklin, research assistant. Copies of this or other programs can be obtained by calling 812-855-1357. In addition, this and other Profiles programs can be accessed through our website at wfiu.indiana.edu. For WFIU, thanks for listening.